Sophia Niazi on real estate. I'm working on several paintings and a rug. They are all inspired by imagery that I have found whilst looking and trawling through different housing market websites. The imagery that I am working with isn't actually from any of those websites. Just by doing all of that research, it affected my algorithm, so all of my suggested and sponsored posts on Instagram start being interiors and furniture. So, I am working with that. And looking at how research is generating more research without me having to put any effort in. The theme is exploring this question of what the images from these websites say about how we live today, because they give insights into the way people live across class, race, and gender. But it also acts as a mask. You don't see people in these photos. You'll see bedrooms. You'll see reflections of people. You'll see some very messy houses that you can tell are normally rented and somebody wants to sell it. You'll see extremely pristine houses which people probably bought as an investment property, and there's speculative housing which doesn't actually exist yet. They are computer generated graphics of how they will look. I started going onto these websites a few years ago because my mum was trying to help my brother look for a house to buy. She's not great at navigating the internet, so I had to help. I became quite involved with this process. I'm interested in how obsessed people get with these websites. I mean, they are very popular, and they are visited by a lot of people who probably can't buy a house. There is obviously some satisfaction by seeing these images and the idea of dreaming and imagining. I think this idea of imagery over the real thing is a choice, but it is a political consequence. Like the fact that people can't afford to live where they want to live, so that the idea about housing, who deserves housing and who can afford housing, is really important, especially to people within our generation, because we may never afford housing. It's a culture shift, and there is a sense that we choose to curate certain images and lifestyles, but actually it's a reality that we've been cornered into, and a lot of people don't realise that. The fact that the space on the internet is free, but space in real life is getting more and more expensive, and people's willingness and eagerness to shift onto the internet and take up space within this digital realm, sooner or later they will feel like, wait a second, I'd actually like to have a bedroom that was bigger than a box. So, for me, it is political, and it's personal and impersonal at the same time. I mean, all the images that are commercialised, that the paintings are based on, they are my personal algorithm, a combination of having something to do with me and the idea of a retreat. Having to live in a world of imagery because it is more comfortable than the real world. As a Muslim, I guess the world is becoming tighter and tighter, and a lot of people do feel this pressure and control. It is something that I think about in a way of maybe resisting, but also holding ground in some way. I don't really visit those interior design accounts. I think it is related to the property sites I visit. They must see I visit these property sites and think I'm buying a property and need to redecorate or something. But it's an interesting mirror how inaccurate and accurate they are. It is pretty much full time. I supplement it with other commissions I get. I'm currently artist in residence with Serpentine Gallery. It's with Rose Noradin as part of UMK, which is a collective we started. So I guess I started UMK with Rose Noradin and Haber Lamara in 2013 as a magazine about women, art and activism. Creating that magazine together, we learned a lot. We learned how to contact people, get content. We were able to produce work ourselves, figure out how to get it designed nicely, get it printed and distributed. So, in terms of getting started, I hadn't done a BA in art to that point. I had just done a foundation. All along, my intention was never to be an artist. I had always thought being a full-time artist sounds indulgent. I'm starting to change how I think. just because I have been working really hard on my work. This isn't that fun. When I think about traditional jobs, I don't feel like that with my own work. Thinking of my own work, producing artwork 5 days a week, would make it less interesting and less connected to what I considered to be more of a real, connected kind of world, where you are in touch with what other people are doing and how society works. So, in that sense, I think success doesn't look like being an artist 5 days a week. That's a bit dull, and doesn't really make sense money-wise. I feel when you've studied art, there is that added pressure. There is the pressure from all of your classmates and comparing yourself, thinking that you have incurred debt, that you want to make a living from what you have studied. And in that sense, when I left university, I didn't have that pressure because I had studied Arabic as my BA. I did a foundation course in art, which was free. So I was making work about what I was interested in and working collectively with friends, which was really important to me, as a way of building friendships and help each other to realise bigger ideas, so it was never competitive. I think the why is really important, and to figure that out early on. I didn't do a BA in art, I did do an MA. By that time, I was really clear as to what I wanted to do. Whenever I got a commission to do something, I felt I was starting from scratch and wanted to develop a method for working through any sort of problem. By the end of this MA, I needed a way of working, so when I get a commission, I can work through it, rather than having a meltdown. Usually, I think 1 year at a time. Next year, I want to continue making rugs, thinking about what types of materials I'm using. Currently, I'm using wool from Poundland, and they are changing the stock. I spent so much time going to different stores and phoning head offices to source of the same colours. I just don't learn my lesson. Oh, this colour's nice. I've got 3 balls of wool. Let me start this massive section. I would like to try and find a more ethical source, as this is acrylic. It's not very good. I also want to learn how to dye wool, so I can have more control over that process. I guess that's my plan, just consolidating some of the things I've learned and developing it further. I have really enjoyed being and working here, and it's such a contrast to London and the pace of London life. The work-to-life ratio is completely flipped here. I know it's because I'm on this fellowship year, but besides that, people seem like work isn't everything, which is nice. It's energy. A big flow, you get stuck in. I really like London, but it's a really difficult place. Even though I'm not struggling in London, I feel the chaos. You end up matching the energy. In London, I'll have 3 meetings and travel over 2 hours on tubes and buses. I just wouldn't do that here. Just 1 meeting a day. I have more space here. Because this fellowship has created this artificial bubble that's not really sustainable for anyone. Getting paid to work on your practice is rare, and it's not a long-term setup, so I feel my experience of living and working in Birmingham is very specific. I keep saying I feel like I'm living in the 80s, and that I'm on holiday. I've had a studio in London for so many years, and never been able to develop a studio practice, like where I will go in and work on anything creative. I'll go in and take my laptop out and answer emails. I always see that as a shortcoming of myself. I'm a baby. Why can't I just work in the studio? I went to a talk recently about risk insecurity, where if you aren't able to feel secure, you aren't able to take risks. With being at home, I know I have a track record of getting work done. But with studios, it's this weird setup. You can have a room, but also have this space in London to work on your art when there isn't enough space to house people. Any second now, I may not have a studio, so I haven't committed or moved here emotionally or spiritually. I have tried to overcome this feeling this year, working in the studio more and working on stuff here. But I'm actually working in the library because the lighting is better. Tom, who was an MA student here, started an 8 a.m. crit club. I started going in January with two friends, and we've been doing that every week. That makes me feel really good, because we do that in my studio. My studio is used every Wednesday, so I'm forced to be here once a week, doing something art-related, and I've kept that up. So, the last few weeks I've been coming in 5 days a week, even if my show is completely rubbish. I've kind of developed a studio practice. If I wanted to be in a room by myself, I would just stay at home. It's taken me a long time to figure out that a studio needs to be a space for other people, where there is good light and that's a comfortable space. The rest is just routine, just making sure I do it long enough to see some results, and I can get something done here. But it makes me think about London. A lot of people have studios and don't use them. It's something about telling yourself you've given yourself space and you are serious, but no one has time to go to that space. I feel the warm-up to making work is taking that walk or catching the bus. I felt accountability was important, and others being there helped me come in, as I felt I had to be in too. The regularity and creating habit helped. There's a lot of negative things attached to being the kind of artist that people at art school aim for, or are working towards being. I personally can't imagine being a famous person, and it seems that in this day and age, being a big artist, you have to drag your personality and your life along with you. While I think all work is personal in one way or another, it's personal confession type work, or its equivalent to personal essay. And I feel like people of colour, especially women of colour, are really expected to do a lot of that. A lot of explaining who you are and why you are the way you are. It's not necessary to do any of that. I am serious about religious practices, and a lot of that can forward into an exploration of the ego and being too centred around the self. I don't think that is something I would be interested in. This research document is part of the Black Box Project and explores Sophia Niazi's Unreal Estate exhibition at Eastside Projects. It has been produced by Tino Chiwara, Polly Brandt, Zoe Aitken, and Clara Murphy, who are all members of the volunteer community at Eastside Projects.